Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid, and then in joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of the fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, she went and sold all that she had and bought it. The kingdom of heaven is like a man and a woman who went down from Ace Hardware to their house on Smith Street in Seattle's Queen Anne neighborhood. They had armed themselves with buckets of paint, paint brushes, painter's tape, nails, sandpaper, all the kinds of things you need for a home improvement plan. Their home improvement plan was to enlarge their bedroom. Upon demolishing the first wall, they are overcome with joy. Overcome with joy to discover that inside the wall were four gold coins dating back to the Civil War. Well, in that little neighborhood on Queen Anne, it didn't take long before every neighbor knew what had happened. And all of us were over there to see those coins and to celebrate with this couple. But of course, everybody wanted to know, are you going to knock down another wall? And how about another wall, right? I mean, if you find 4 coins behind the first wall, what are the chances are you're going to find more coins behind wall number 2 or wall number 3? Don't you think you owe it to yourself? What would you do? While you ponder what you might do, consider that whenever Jesus teaches about the kingdom of heaven, there are 2 things that are really important for us to remember. First, the kingdom of heaven is not geographical. It's not over here or over there or up above, and it isn't actually something that you have to die to experience, according to Jesus. No, for Jesus, it's apparent that the kingdom of heaven is something you experience here and now. In fact, the very first words out of the mouth of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark, look it up. The very first words out of the mouth of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark is that the kingdom of heaven is as near as your hand. The kingdom of heaven is as near as your hand. The second important thing to remember is that when Jesus teaches about the kingdom of heaven, he uses parables exclusively. He only uses parables when he talks about the kingdom of heaven. What is there not to like about a parable, right? Love those things, right? There was a man who had 2 sons. I don't have to go any further. You know exactly where this is going. The much-loved and well-known story of the prodigal son. Or how about this one? There was a man who went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among... You could tell me the ending to that one as well. But we only love parables up to a point. And that is, they just don't give us enough information. We'd like a little more information. For instance, consider this morning that parable of the prodigal son. Before we are too harsh in our judgment of the elder son, maybe he had a really good case for the tough love approach he wanted his father to take with his younger brother. After all, giving in to his younger brother's every whim and desire certainly wasn't going to help his younger brother learn the value of a dollar, responsibility or accountability or all of those things that we want our kids to know and learn and do, right? We just don't get enough information. So I thought I'd go on Wikipedia and see if I could find out a little bit more information about the elder son. You'd be surprised what you can find on Wikipedia. I bet you didn't know this. I bet you didn't know that the elder son was an Eagle Scout. And on the one day off a week that his father gave him, on the one day off a week, he made sandwiches for the homeless. And on top of all of that, he got unbelievably good SAT scores, which got him a full ride to Stanford University. You see, we just don't get enough information in parables. 4 gold coins behind 1 wall. What would you do? Doesn't it suggest that you should at least take down at least 1 more wall? So I decided to have a very unscientific poll. I put this question to several people. Well, that's not really true. I put it to 2 people. And in each instance, I asked the question, and what they wanted was more information. First of all, the very first thing they wanted to know was, how much are 4 gold coins worth? That was primary. The second thing was, well, how old is this couple? Are they young enough that they'd be able to have lots of time to rebuild? Do they have young children, or do they have kids in college? Or were they retired and living on a fixed income? What would you do? Well, the conclusion from my unscientific poll of 2 people plus myself was, probably should play it safe. But nobody in those parables about Jesus talking about the kingdom of heaven played it safe. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and then rehid. And then in their joy, goes and sells all that they have to buy the field. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. And on finding that one pearl of great value, the merchant went and sold all of her possessions to buy that one pearl. We're not even told what the treasure in the field was. Because as we know, one person's treasure is another person's trash. And the merchant who sold all that she had to buy the pearl of great value obviously didn't do it to resell it. Because the kingdom of heaven is not the treasure, nor is it the pearl. The kingdom of heaven is the joy. The joy. The joy that all of these people felt. But it's hard for us, I think, to hear this message of joy because so ingrained in our thinking is that we have to value everything by its monetary value. But the kingdom of heaven is all about joy. Joy, joy, joy. Joy beyond compare. You can't define joy, you can only experience joy. The kingdom of heaven is like the joy of one's love returning after a long absence. Or a soldier who makes it safely home from the battlefield. The kingdom of heaven is the joy of being surrounded by your family, hearing your children or your grandchildren laughing, playing, singing on a warm and sunny afternoon. This joy, Jesus says, is here and now. The joy that describes the kingdom of heaven is something to be received now, entered into, possessed, and experienced in this life. And isn't that something that we all desire? Joy. But so often we are weighed down by our responsibilities, our commitments, and our schedules. And then there is sin. Our sin. Our own grievous sin. The way that we hurt one another with both words and deeds, and sometimes by just plain indifference to the plight of others. By our sin, our own sin alone, we desire to be in control, even to the point where we will manufacture our joy through pills, booze, addictions, robbing ourselves, but not only ourselves, but our families and others of joy. To experience the kingdom of heaven and its inexplicable joy is to discover the treasure of unequaled value, the pearl of great price. It is to discover a relationship with Jesus Christ where the giving and the receiving of forgiveness is foremost. I honestly cannot think of anything more joyful than reconciliation. We see those videos on YouTube or on television, reconciliations. And we know what joy is. To possess the kingdom now is to have the gift of forgiveness now. To know that in Jesus Christ, God has forgiven you. That you can start over today or tomorrow or the next day. For God has lifted the burden of guilt and shame and given you the joy of communion, not only with God, but with each other. Knowing this, believing this, but most importantly, acting on this, we can heal the brokenness in our relationships and experience joy again. Now, an important note here is that this joy, the joy of being one again, reconciled or having the burden of sin lifted from our shoulders, this joy is not found at Trinity Lutheran Church. Nor is it found at Trinity Methodist Church, Trinity Episcopal Church, Trinity Presbyterian Church. If you listen to that gospel reading, what it says is that joy is found in our everyday relationships. Of course, I exaggerate. Of course, you can experience it in the sacrament of Holy Communion and in loving one another here. But Jesus uses everyday experiences and relationships in the home, in the family, in the field, and in the office. It is in our daily relationships that we discover the joy of God's forgiveness, mercy, compassion, and grace. Okay, your time is up. What would you have done if you had discovered 4 gold coins dating back to the Civil War in between the wall? I can tell you what the couple who lived on Smith Street did. They stuck to their plan of remodeling their bedroom. They didn't tear out any more walls, although they seriously considered it. They did take one of the gold coins to a jeweler who drilled a hole through it and made it into a necklace. And every time the woman of this couple wears it, she says it reminds her of the sheer joy of the discovery of those coins. And her husband? Well, together they sold the place many years ago, but there isn't a time when he doesn't think about maybe he should have tore down a wall. But the one thing he did do was when he sold the house years later, he made it a point to tell the young couple who bought the house about the gold coins in the wall and suggested that sometime they might want to reconsider a remodel. When you stop and think about it, Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, is in the remodeling business. Jesus gives his life for our life to be full of grace. Jesus remodels our lives with his never-ending gift of grace and does it for the sheer joy of it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.